Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP 102 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. The Alexandria location now open and taking appointments. D'Angelo Hall, former Redskins corner, joins us coming up at 8:20.
Can I just say this real quick because I know we won't get to it because, you know, it's heavy skins today. But remember we were talking last week about how bad Rutgers quarterback is, Arthur Sitkowski, right?
Yes, it was bad. They were on display in College Park.
And Rutgers should not, they certainly shouldn't be in the Big Ten. They should probably be in the CAA. All right, they shouldn't even be FBS. Anyway, he had to have had the worst game in college football history.
Was he 2-for-17?
I mean, think about this. He was 2-for-16 for 8 yards and 4 picks.
Oh.
There's never been a worse performance in college football. There can't be. It can't have. There's no way anybody had a worse performance in the history of college football than 2-for-16 for 8 yards.
It was
and four
painful
picks.
To watch, and I didn't watch the entire game, but I probably watched a half to three quarters of it, just because it's nice to see the Terps beat up on somebody. And right. Rutgers is.
I mean, is that possible?
Well, I know this. Dylan and I share a college fantasy team.
Yeah.
I believe we picked up Northwestern, who plays Rutgers next week.
Well,
because we're just going
that's
to
smart.
Face.
That's smart. I told him to do that.
Try and pick up. Last Wednesday, I was scouring for college fantasy right. defenses because I like to just pick the low-hanging fruit.
Right.
And I saw that Maryland was hosting Rutgers. I said, well, nobody's got Maryland's defense. Picked them up in all three leagues.
It's how many points did you get?
Like 22 to 25 points.
Drabby, is it possible that in college football history there was a worse performance by a quarterback?
I think that's it, man.
No.
I mean, I just couldn't believe it.
Rutgers is a special breed of awful. They just are. I just, if you're a Rutgers fan, I don't
know
how.
Weren't they decent for a couple years there?
They might have had a few like outlier
when they had
years.
Ray Rice.
Yeah.
And
a couple years.
Shiano.
Yeah.
But
yeah, Shiano years.
I just can't believe that you can go 2-for-16. I mean, it's not like Maryland's got Alabama defensive players.
Right.
I mean, it's Maryland.
Well, what was, now this is the NFL, what was Marcus Mariota's line yesterday? I mean, he was sacked 11 times.
It was awful. I could pull it up for you. I mean, he's battling a hand injury. I mean, he's got a little bit of excuse, plus his offensive line is terrible.
Well, if he's injured, why is he out there?
And he's got a poo-poo receiving core.
Yeah, they got nothing else.
Again, I think we can point to this, because I jinxed him on bold predictions before the season started. Marcus Mariota thrives in the Titans' new offense, accounting for 30 passing touchdowns and 5 rushing scores.
What does he have, 2 right now?
Let's see. He was.
I'm the problem. I jinxed Marcus Mariota. I'm fully convinced of it. How could this not be the cause?
Right, and they beat the Eagles.
Somehow they beat the Eagles.
And they beat the Jags.
Well,
the Jags were terrible.
They're proving
in that game.
To be fraudulent. There are chinks in the armor.
He was
with 10
for 15 for 117. Yes, he was sacked 11 times. But he won 2-for-16, 4 picks.
Well, it turns out he stinks because even LaFleur off of the McVay coaching tree can't breathe life into him and that terrible offense.
And you know what? That being said, they're still in the mix for the division.
Well, it shows you.
That's how bad that division is.
The NFL is not great. There are a few really good teams up near the top and a lot of dreck underneath.
You know, we ran out of time. I did stay up to watch that game last night. And so the Patriots, they do what they do every year. They have a rough September. I guess Belichick doesn't care. You wonder, is this the end? And then they just start firing on all cylinders. And now, as Cakes mentioned, they have a running game with Sonny Michel. They give Tom Brady so much time. He had a fumble. He had a couple turnovers in the game, but man, there are times when it seems like he has 7 seconds back there.
How much time was left when he got the ball at the end of the game to drive him down for the game-winning kick? About 3
right
minutes?
Around 2 minutes.
Yeah. That's what he does.
2 minutes.
What you give him
is,
2 or 3 minutes.
Well, it was a back and forth.
Yeah.
But the thing was, Kansas City got the ball back with 2.5 minutes left, and they're down. And Mahomes throws a 75-yard touchdown pass to Freak Hill.
Did they ever
He's
have the
so
lead?
He's so fast. Yeah, they had the lead.
Oh, they did have the lead. What was the score?
Or did they lead or they tied it?
You know what I'm saying?
It was 43-40. They tied it at 40.
That's true, but it was just there was a back and forth there, and then just when you leave Tom Brady that much time,
he's going to kill
and
you.
And they got some runs. He really made two nice throws when they needed it. Big throw to Hogan at one point, deep ball, and then a deep ball to Gronk to move the ball. Other than that,
must have been a great game.
You know,
to
generally
watch.
Short passing. Mahomes, you know, had a couple of picks.
Did he throw it to Gordon at all? 5 for 42.
We started to work him in a little bit more.
Yeah, I would expect better numbers than that, though. I mean, I know he's got a ton of guys he can throw to, but
43-40 last night.
You leave, yeah. Let's see, 31 and what was it, 19?
That game went way over. By the way, I think at the end. Valdez or Jason, you can correct me, it was like 59, 59 and a half. Flew over the
total. But believe it or not, the Patriots were holding Kansas City to field goals on several drives.
Yeah.
Was the closing number Pat's laying 3.5, or did it move down to 3? Was it bet down to 3? Valdez, do you know?
I saw 3.5 everywhere.
All right. Now, when we had Brandon Lang on Friday, he said he did like the Pats, but he also liked the over, but he really liked the Pats laying the 3.5. They were up 24-6, weren't they?
Yes.
I mean, that game was over. And then Mahomes just brought him back. Man, that must have been a great game to watch.
Well, Kareem Hunt had a bomb game again. He's come to life the last three weeks.
He's erupting.
Kareem Hunt, 10 carries for 80 yards, and also had 5 catches for a 105.
And Mahomes overthrew him early when he had completely dusted Hightower, like down the seam.
Right.
Like he overthrew him by like a yard or two. It was a sure touchdown.
He threw a bullet when he probably should have put some air underneath it.
Yeah.
They pressured him, though.
They pressured Brady?
Mahomes.
Oh, they did?
They pressured Mahomes a lot.
Wasn't sacked.
No, but he was throwing, like, backing up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But he has that type of arm where he can do it.
23 for 36, 352, 4 touchdowns. Did throw 2 picks. But, man, that must have been a really fun game to watch. I just couldn't stay up. I was gassed. Tired.
Yeah, plus you took a softball in the ear hole,
which
certainly can't help.
You can't see anything.
No cauliflower ear, no damage?
No, it wasn't really the ear. It was like more like right here, like kind of almost right below my temple.
Right by your sideburn.
I mean,
it hurt.
If you took a temple shot, that could have been, curtains.
Missed me by a quarter inch.
Could have been lights out. Could have been a two-man show today if that happened.
I got headaches.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
I do.
Are you in the protocol?
I am in the protocol.
They bring you to the tent?
It's going
to
be a while.
Check you out on the sideline?
I thought you were going to bring up baseball when you said, I know we're not going to get to it.
Which series?
Well,
Boston series? ALCS?
Either series, but one thing which jumped out at me, not watching a ton of it, is Clayton Kershaw continues to be very pedestrian in the playoffs. It's pretty amazing that somebody can win all these Cy Youngs and just dominate, and then in the playoffs, he's a 500 pitcher with like a 4 ERA.
True, but I'm not going to really put the loss on him for that.
He just pitched a gem in the previous
round.
His
defense was awful. Grandal was awful at catcher. You know, Taylor was bad. So the defense let them down there. But they came back in one game, too. So they're going back home.
Both series are 1-1.
That's what they wanted. They wanted to just get one of those and go back home for 3 games in Dodger Stadium. And then, you know, David Price is just... At any time, I would rather see David Price with a pressure cooker in his hand than a baseball, especially in the postseason. I mean, he is just awful. But you got to score 6-7 runs to win a game that David Price is starting.
It is a victory Monday. We've been talking Redskins throughout the show. We'll talk to D'Angelo Hall shortly. I was thinking about this. Adrian Peterson, 96 yards, 120 yards, 97 yards in 3 wins. Duds in the other 2 games, but overall... To me, he's been the biggest surprise on the Redskins. Is there anybody else that jumps out at you? What's your biggest surprise with the Redskins thus far through 5 games?
I think it's the fact that Alex Smith only has 6 touchdowns.
That's surprising?
That's kind of surprising. I thought his numbers would be better. I didn't think he would have like Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady numbers. I thought he would have more than 6 touchdowns through 5 games. I'm surprised by the lack of production from Alex Smith so far.
What's jumped out at you, Jason? 5 games in, third season?
On the positive, it's obviously Peterson. I didn't think he'd be this good. Now, he's got to be more consistent. Not all on him, but on the negative, I just think it's the fact that there seems to be, on paper, there seems to be weapons there in the passing game, but they just don't find them.
So it kind of goes hand in hand with Case and Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Now, positive is, and I talked about this with John Keim, unless they're facing like a top six or seven offense in the league, I think this defense can hang with anybody. And I think if that now if they face the Saints or the Pats or like a team like the Chargers, I think they're a little bit outclassed. But for the rest of the NFL, this defense is doing work. And we saw it again yesterday against the Panthers.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, Valdez looked at the schedule. Right now, if you go by record, they don't face a winning team the rest of the way. Face a lot of 500 teams. Cowboys are 500.
Everyone 500, yeah.
Right, but there's nobody that they're facing on the schedule. They're not facing the Patriots. They're not facing the Rams. They're not facing the Chiefs.
Their biggest test is behind them, the Saints.
Yeah, but some of those teams could have really good records when they play them.
See, to me, the most surprising thing is Adrian Peterson, because I just expected Adrian Peterson was going to be what he was with the Cardinals. He might have a couple good games, but he was going to have more duds.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a couple of duds, but in, I think, the six games with the Cardinals, he had two good games and four duds. So I figured that that was going to continue. Or he would be often injured. He's been able to overcome the injuries. Because if you just looked at the last two seasons, that's what Adrian Peterson had been.
Right.
But that's the biggest surprise on the positive. On the negative, I'm going to go to the defense. The defense overall has been good. But, I mean, there's no way I would have thought that Ryan Kerrigan and Preston Smith through five games would have one sack. I don't know what's going on there. Like, why aren't they generating a pass rush at all?
Because eventually,
when you do face those prolific offenses, when they face Matt Ryan, somebody like that, who's a drop-back quarterback with all the weapons, you give him time, he's going to put up 40 points.
Oh, another positive, if the NFL playoffs started today, the Redskins, this would be too good of a Christmas gift if it plays out this way. Redskins would host Kirk Cousins and the Vikings.
Oh, well, you know that's not
the bonanza. The ratings bonanza. Hey. Oh,
and cakes. It'll be a home game.
I'm praying
game.
For that.
Home game.
I am praying for that to happen.
By the way, Pete didn't get this.
I hope this happens.
Can you go through Adam Thielen's game log?
Yeah, I can do it.
Do people understand what is going on?
100-plus yards in this first six games.
He's a stud.
Scorching defenses is what he does.
Never drops balls and can run. For a little whitey, can run.
Yeah, and he was a guy that showed up at a tryout. The Vikings said, you know what? We'll just try some people out.
It's a great story.
Like, who's this guy? Signed him. Look what he's doing. He's a Pro Bowler.
By the way, just talking about the offense and how they struggle to score points. The Jets scored 42 against the Colts. That's with seven field goals.
Yep.
All right, they could have scored 55. Against the Colts. This is a rookie quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And who is he throwing to? Terrell Pryor and Jermaine Kearse? Robbie Anderson had two catches.
He threw a touchdown to like a tight end that I'd never heard of yesterday.
The Redskins scored 9 against that
I'm well aware.
The Jets put up 42, could have put up 60.
Yes.
And the Skins put up 9 against that team.
Adam Thielen this season.
At home.
6 catches for 102 yards, 12 for 131 and a touchdown. 14 for a .105, 8 for 135 and a touchdown, 7 for 116 and a touchdown, 11 yesterday for 123 and a touchdown. He has 58 catches this season.
I'm sure it has nothing to do with the fact that Kirk Cousins is there slinging him the ball. I'm sure that has nothing to do with it. Did he put up those numbers with Case Keenum?
He put up good numbers, but not these numbers.
Not these sorts of numbers.
Undrafted.
Unbelievable.
Out of Minnesota. I didn't know Minnesota State was a school.
I thought it was only a school.
I thought it was
coach,
a
TV show.
Yeah, exactly.
It's actually a real place.
It's a real spot.
All right, coming up next, he joins us every Monday after the Redskins games. D'Angelo Hall from the Redskins Corner, right here on the Junkies.
Come on with it. Star Trek. Guess it's haters. I'm doing deals like the majors. Ice cream sneakers. I signed my first skater. So you could pay three and buy yourself.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington every Monday after the Redskins games. We're lucky to be joined by former Redskins corner D'Angelo Hall on the Mattress Ross Hotline. He is driven by your D.C. area Acura dealers and the 2019 Acura MDX. Test drive the best-selling third-row luxury SUV of all time at your local D.C. area Acura dealer. Find the closest one to you at dcacuradealers.com. D'Angelo Hall, can you figure this team out? They are Jekyll and Hyde.
Yes, they totally are. I mean, it is so frustrating, like I said, from time to time, man, when you watch this team play, because they show so many flashes of being a very, very good team that can compete. And then they show signs of being a team that, like Trent Williams stated, could be picking in the top five of the draft. And so, I mean, it was encouraging, though, to watch those guys go out and beat a Carolina team that didn't play very well, but still had played well in previous games.
And, D'Angelo, it's becoming pretty clear now through five games that the Redskins go as Adrian Peterson goes. He had 17 carries for 97 yards yesterday, a boom day for him. When he has a bust day like he had against the Saints on Monday night, the Skins don't really have a chance to win. But when they put it in his gut and he's rumbling down the field and he's able to get close to 100 like he did yesterday, Skins have a good chance to win games.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the formula for this team to win football games. And I think I stated it after the Arizona game. When this team is running downhill with Adrian Peterson, And they give that offensive line a chance to catch their breath, because if they're just throwing the ball down in and down out, guys on the defensive line, they know that, and all they're doing is just giving every one of those old linemen their best pass rush move. But when you keep a defensive line off balance with them having to play the run and the pass, it slows them down. And, you know, you saw that. You saw that in this game. They did have to change their protection a little bit, though. Jay Gruden offenses typically love to get five wide out, or not five wide, but just five eligible receivers out as soon as possible. You saw him leaving that tight end in a couple times in protection. You saw him leaving that back end, having those guys chip and release late, because they know they have to, at some points in this game, they have to give those old linemen some help, and they were able to do that from time to time.
All right, D, let's get to the Josh Norman stuff. So you came on our show, you called him Hollywood. Josh Norman began a lot of criticism. Charlie Castle, he said, third best corner on the team. And what I'd say is you weren't making things up. The statistics show that Josh Norman was getting beaten as quarterbacks were facing him. I think quarterback rating of 156 throwing at Josh Norman. Mm-hmm. Us as fans were seeing, you know, blown coverages. And clearly he addressed it by having some sort of team meeting. I sometimes doubt team meetings. Teams have team meetings all the time. They win, they lose, whatever. But you know what? To his credit, he made a couple big plays in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the one was kind of a gimme, but still have to go get that ball. You still have to catch it. And so he caught it. He did what he was supposed to do on that play. And just causing disruption, man. Causing disruption like he always does. You know, he was in on a couple tackles. He punched that ball out in typical Josh Norman fashion. And, you know, he got that defense energetic and hype to make plays. You know, he gave up, you know, some passes, so did Dunbar, but they made plays when they needed to. And like I said, no game's ever going to be perfect. No game ever was for me. And so I understand guys are going to catch balls, but ultimately you want to make more plays than them, and this secondary made more plays than the Carolina receivers, and that's why they won this football game.
D'Angelo, I had to chuckle a little bit. I was looking at Twitter after the game yesterday, and Dan Steinberg from the Washington Post, from the Sports Blog, tweeted, "Only way for this week to end," and it's a screenshot of you and Josh Norman side by side on the NBC Sports Washington set. You guys are both like looking down, kind of away from each other. I'm sure it was just like, you know, like a quick snapshot, because I know you'll say these things to Josh Norman's face. It's not like it's something that you wouldn't, you know, tell
and
him
he did.
Directly. But what was that dynamic like having Josh sit right next to you on the set last night?
I mean, it was great. It was great. You know, we were able to address a couple things in that sit down, and we ultimately cleared the air. I think a lot of people felt like it looked a little awkward when we first sat down. but by the end of the conversation, man, it was all hugs, and you know, it was all hugs, man. So, like I said, I root for him as well as a bunch of other guys in that locker room, man. And so, you know, like I told him, I want to see you shine. I want to see this team and this defense shine. And y'all keep playing the way you played yesterday, and we'll all be very proud of the outcome.
Do you guys consider yourself friends?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So you talk to him, other, you know, outside of football?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I do.
Well, I would say this, just my impression is the message was that maybe he wasn't as prepared as he needed to be, that whether it's Hollywood, whatever, that he was missing coverages. And I think the message was received, because what Josh talked about after the game with you and with others was being part of a system and being prepared, and that's what you need him to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what you need every guy in that locker room to do, just prepare to the best of their ability. And so, you know, those guys played. They played, they fought. You know, you still would like to see this offense do a little more because they're going to need to in these close physical matchups that we're about to come down this stretch and have to play. And if this defense does what it does, like I said, the offense has to, at some point, step it up a little bit more, just be a little bit more consistent and be able to throw that ball downfield. And they did a little bit of that. I kind of noticed in the first 10 plays, this offense threw the ball downfield more than it did in the whole Saints game. And so, you know, just doing that as well. And we forget at times, Chris Thompson wasn't out there.
Right.
Jameson Crowder wasn't out there. You add those two more weapons, hopefully you are able to do a lot more with this offense and push that ball downfield and get a lot more guys involved.
Talking to D'Angelo Hall. Now, of course, these guys were your former teammates, but you practiced against them. What we also saw and what we were scratching our heads after the Monday Night Football game was, why aren't they throwing the ball to Jordan Reed? He had two targets against the Saints. He didn't have a great statistical line yesterday. I think 5 catches for under 40 yards, but they did target him 8 or 9 times. Same thing, Vernon Davis with 3 targets. The strength of this team's not the wide receivers, right? They're going to have to go to guys like Jordan Reed. They even ran a 3 tight end set at one point.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the best player on this offense, I think, no doubt, is Jordan Reed. And so it is puzzling why they don't seem to get him the ball more. But, you know, it was nice to see him get some catches because it wasn't that Monday night game where he didn't get a target until middle of the third quarter. And so at least he was able to get a couple targets. But, you know, you're absolutely right. It was a couple times I saw Alex out there, and I could tell it was man-to-man coverage. They had Jordan Reed spread out wide, you know, on the play I'm thinking of. Thomas Davis was out there covering him. And Thomas Davis was an athletic linebacker, but Jordan Reed had beat him 10 out of 10 times. And I don't even see Alex look that way, and Jordan runs the perfect route, and he's wide open. And Alex goes to the other side of the field immediately and throws the ball over there. That's an incomplete pass. And I said to myself, like, you know, when you know it's man-to-man, you have to go with your best guy. And your best guy is Jordan Reed in that situation. And I'm like, and you pray it's not against their best guy. 9 out of 10 times it's your best receiver against the team's best corner. This time it's your best receiver against the team's not-so-good cover linebacker. That is the matchup you want. Why didn't you go there? And so it's certain things that Alex has to do too, to help give Jordan the ball as well. But they definitely need to be scheming up a way to get that man at least 8-9 targets a game, like all the other teams who have great tight ends do.
Although on that fourth down call, which I like them going for it on fourth down, it looked like he was staring at Jordan Reed the whole time, still threw it his way, couldn't get it. It was covered. I wanted to flip to the defense. What are you seeing from the lack of pass rush? Why isn't Ryan Kerrigan getting to the quarterback? He's getting close. Why isn't Preston Smith? I mean, I'm looking at 5 games, 1 sack combined between these two.
And, you know, that's a tough question because I haven't sat there and just ISO'd those two guys. I've been more so looking at the secondary because that's kind of been the emphasis through the first couple of weeks. But I'm gonna have to really sit out and watch because I don't know if it's an effort thing, if it's a luck thing where, you know, I'm almost there. As soon as I'm there, the ball's thrown. You know, we had a lot of those over the last couple of years. But you're right. Ryan was still always able to get to the quarterback and get those sacks and put up double-digit numbers. And so to be through this many games and for him to only have had 1 sack and Preston 0, you know, it's perplexing a little bit. But, you know, they are generating pass rush. They are. I don't know if it's just because, you know, those guys up the middle are coming so quick. But I'm going to have to sit down and really break it down and figure that one out for you guys and let you know really what I see. But, you know, you can never get too worried about where the sacks come from as long as they're coming. And the defense has been able to get to the opposing quarterback.
Mm. Not that often. They had 1 sack.
Yeah, they're struggling.
Yeah. I mean, they had 1 sack, but, I mean, it was Cam Newton. It was a guy you probably weren't supposed to get any against. But, you know, just think about Aaron Rodgers, them being able to keep him in the pocket and him never really feeling like, you know, where he was at his most dangerous, where he's out that pocket extending plays or, you know, having all day in the pocket like we saw Tom Brady have last night. You know, we're able to, you know, get in teams' faces.
So they're going to face another quarterback next week who can run a little bit. He did yesterday.
Yeah.
He ran for 80 yards against Jacksonville and Dak Prescott. So give me your thoughts on this game. This is obviously a big one considering that Dallas won yesterday 40-7, very surprising score. But they ranked 29th in the league in passing. They only scored 8 points against the Panthers, 13 against the Seahawks, and 16 against the Texans. So they're not explosive. You know, they obviously have one of the best backs, but this is a big one. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, you know, I think this is a bad time for us to play a Dallas team coming off of the way they won. I bet that'll be a confidence booster to those guys. But I think we match up pretty well against them. You know, we spoke a lot about Carolina's offense and that run offense particularly. And to see this defense able to stuff that run offense, it gives you hope and it lets you know, hey, we know Dallas is going to come in here and try to establish the run game because they can't beat you passing. They haven't shown that ability to beat you passing. And so we know as long as we don't blow anything on the back end, they'll be able to cover Dallas's receivers. And it's about stopping that run. It's about stopping Ezekiel Elliott. He poses a different challenge than McCaffrey. McCaffrey was a little more shake and bake. This guy's a big bruiser. And so, you know, we don't typically do very well against big bruising backs. So I'm interested to see what kind of game plan they come up with to try to stop Ezekiel because, you know, he's as he goes, it's kind of how Dallas is going
to
go.
D'Angelo, let's pivot to some fashion here for a second. Pretty cool of Swearinger to wear the Sean Taylor jersey. He walked into FedEx yesterday, right?
Oh, man, absolutely. And he's a guy, he knows the history of the game.
Yep.
And so, you know, he's always talking about Sean. He's a big Sean Taylor fan. And so, you know, absolutely pay tribute to that guy. I want to say he's done it a couple times since he's been on the Redskins. He's worn that jersey. So, you know, this was a game that was a Sean Taylor type of game, man, because it was a game they had to have. And that secondary, after what they had put on TV, on film, on national TV, they had to respond, and respond they did.
Was there anything else around the league that surprised you? You know, we obviously talked about the Dallas game. Anything else outside of that game that surprised you yesterday?
Not really. I guess as bad as I did not think that Oakland would be as bad. I kind of thought they'd be a little better than they are.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, to me, that's probably the most surprising. I'm kind of like, wow, I can't believe Oakland's playing terrible football right now.
I mean, what's going on with Derek Carr?
I don't know. You know, this is a guy you paid a lot of money to, and you were expecting to be the next guy, the next leader of the top tier of quarterbacks. And, you know, he's not looking very good at all. And so, you know, that team's in disarray, man. I think when you get rid of your best player in Khalil Mack, it's so hard to get guys, you know, that are that good. And so when you get rid of one, I mean, goodness gracious.
By the way, how much do players
you're supposed to lose?
How much do players hate going over to London to play?
I never played in London. I went with the team to London.
Yeah.
But so my mindset was a little different because I was kind of, you know, I was hurt, so I knew I wasn't playing. I was excited to go. I wanted to go. I kind of was like, yeah, you know, let's go check out London. But I didn't have the pressure of having to play. I bet those guys are like, man, are you kidding me? Because it's such a long, grueling flight.
Right.
It's such a long trip and such a short amount of time. You know, everybody's pulling at you. You got demands. You got to do this. You got to do that. And so at the same time, you got to try to stick to your normal routine of maintaining your body and watching extra film and doing all those things. And, you know, it's just real hard doing that out of a hotel.
You'd rather hang out with London Fletcher than go to London. Come on, let's be honest. Everybody knows that.
He sounds like he was
an easy one.
Hey, D, I wanted to ask you though. It sounds like you watched the game last night, and that was a 43-40 game won by the Patriots. We're talking about the Redskins being offensively challenged. Those two teams, How would you scheme against them? How do you stop those offenses?
Oh, man. That's a tough question because, you know, unless you have a talented secondary or a talented group of pass rushers and coverage guys, it's kind of tough to do that, you know. I think the only team, that's why I think everyone's kind of foreshadowing now because they see how talented this Rams defense is. They're able to apply pressure with just four guys rushing. They're able to, you know, they have a lot of DBs who can cover to lead. And Peters are still hurt, I think, right now, and they're still able to cover everyone. They're the only team that I feel matches up. I would have put Minnesota in that same category, but Minnesota's defense, you know, they've went from being one of the best in the league to the worst in their division. I don't believe in them right now. And so, you know, it takes a team with a loaded secondary who can match up because anyone else, I mean, they just don't have enough cover guys to match up with the amount of weapons that these guys can put on the field. And Tom Brady adding a guy like Josh Gordon who you can put on the outside, I mean, when he was playing was one of the best. It's tough. If we had to play one of those teams, it would be hard for me to go with us because – and you have to have an offense that can score points because this team's going to score. And so, yeah, like you said, it would be, you know, kind of close to the Saints game, you would think, outcome-wise. But, you know, it probably wouldn't get there the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Redskins aren't at that level. All right, always love having you on. D'Angelo Hall, thanks a lot, bud.
No problem.
He joins us every Monday after Redskins games. Yeah, I mean, Tom Brady has so much time. Throws those short passes to James White, who seems to get a first down every time. And then he can still go over the top and hit somebody like Gronk or Hogan or Edelman over the top.
A lot of weapons.
They find the matchups.
They do. Number one weapon is Tom Brady. You give him 2 minutes in a tie game to go down the field and get his team in field goal territory, he's going to do it.
Yep. And Gordon, by the way, you look at the numbers, not necessarily great. You sit and watch a game, but he did draw a pass interference in the end zone. Kendall Fuller pulled him down.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, you're about to let a guy catch a touchdown. This is what you got to do.
Yep. All right, remember, our Redskins beat reporter Craig Hoffman joins us at 9. We go around the NFL with Jason LaConfora from CBS Sports at 9:40 here on The Fan. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. I failed to live up to my Junkies Binge Club assignment.
What was that? What were you supposed to watch?
I think I'm supposed to watch Snowfall.
Ah, that's right.
And I have the opportunity to do it. My wife is away for a few days with Isabella and her mom in the Outer Banks.
Yeah.
So I am flying solo for the most part. I mean, Dylan's over, but I can watch some TV, particularly during the day.
So much TV
like
watching
during the day, oftentimes my wife is working and I have to watch the baby. You know, Dylan's at school. So, like, during those daytime hours now, I got nothing. Nothing on the agenda. So, I'm going to try and watch Snowfall today. Is it a show that I will be able to watch, though, just two episodes? Because what I don't like about binge watching is when you get really into it, and I'm guessing you did not watch Ozark.
Did not.
So, you got to watch
Ozark.
I'll send you a text.
I didn't have time.
But there are some shows where you can't stop. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
it just pummels your sleep.
Yep.
I mean, I really like the show, but it's, you know, you may not like it. So you may want to bail after two episodes. I don't know. Is it a show that you, I think there was probably 12 episodes. Awad, where are you at? How many episodes were in season one of Snowfall? Was it 12 or was it more than that?
I think it was 10.
It was 10? Okay. So maybe it's 20 total.
I might crank that out by Thursday.
Yeah, you can have two seasons under your belt.
Do you think that he'll be able to watch, you know, 8 or 10
in a weekend, maybe.
In a weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he could.
The episodes are kind of long, and there's a lot of information going on, so it's kind of harder to binge.
I'm not as slow as you. I can handle information. A lot of information going on.
Yeah, drug dealing. There's a lot of information.
That's what it is.
Remember the information he had from the Eastern European girl that he spent like $700 on or nothing?
Yeah.
Things I forget, was she from Ukraine?
No, she's from Romania.
She was from Romania.
Yeah.
He said she talked a lot about Romania. What did you learn?
Some things are bigger and some things are smaller.
I mean, that doesn't even make any sense.
That's funny. It makes me laugh, though.
It does make me laugh.
So I'm thinking I'm going to watch Snowfall today.
All right, good.
Why not?
Give it a chance.
Valdez is pointing out it's prime nap type of day. Cold, rainy outside.
Is it still raining out?
It's the perfect,
oh, it's pouring.
Perfect
oh,
storm really? For a nap.
Yeah, but I my kid's done with school at like 3, right? So I've got till 3. I'm not going to nap from 11 till 3.
No, that's what Drab would do.
I mean, I'm not doing a 4-hour nap.
Right. You got to limit your nap so you can actually sleep at night.
I'm going to watch Walking Dead when I get home. Watch Walking Dead.
I forgot about that. I didn't watch Walking Dead.
I'm going to watch that today. Oh, Negan's in it. Negan wasn't in the first episode.
Except for his name.
This is his name, yeah. So I'll watch that. I don't think I'll take a nap. I took some Tramadol last night because my head hurt. I
can't believe you're still taking the Tramadol.
Of course your head hurt. You had a screamer salt more. Ball.
Have you gotten refills?
Once.
And are you done with the refills?
I've got 4 left.
That's a lot of refills.
I needed it last night.
Not 4 refills. He's got 4 pills
left.
4
pills left.
I needed it last night.
But
though.
Then you have
he's
to call.
He's like counting down the
you
pills.
You have to call your doc and say, I need a refill, or they
won't
just won't
do
hook
that.
You.
No, they won't do that.
Because they know it's habit forming.
Yeah,
they know you like it.
You'll have to go in and see him.
Right.
And prove that you're in a lot of pain.
Yeah,
they're not going to.
That
kind of
sucks.
I was going to say, you've been doing rehab for 6 months. Your injury was,
right.
You know, but it's back in the spring.
Right, you're all healed.
Doc, my shoulder's still bothering me.
Your shoulder can't still be frozen. It's impossible.
But maybe I go to a different doctor and just make up another injury. I don't know.
Oh, that's
that's pretty ethical.
Start going to different right. doctors. That's
but anyway,
the warning sign.
But I took him and last night, because I really needed it, because my head was just killing me.
Yeah.
Popped a melatonin.
Is that sound going through your head?
Well, that's what it sounded like when it hit my head.
Yeah.
But, man, it just knocked me out. I slept like a baby. I feel a little bit hearty today because, you know, the headache's still there. But I probably wouldn't have slept well at all if I didn't have those.
Are you going to consider wearing a helmet the next time you're in the field of play?
Coaches don't wear helmets. What are you talking about?
Hey, you're just trying to protect your dome. Mm-hmm. That's
Cakes
all.
Cakes is one of the most fearful people I've ever met.
You know what? You know what I do? I protect my brain. Okay, it might not be the best. It's clearly not the best brain on the planet, but it's the only one I've
we
got.
Still have that picture from the Turkey Bowl. Look how many pads Cakes has.
Come on, your boy's playing middle linebacker.
You can see almost no skin on him.
I had to be fully padded.
Cakes, it was 1 in a million shot that ball hit my head where it did.
I'm almost rooting for you to get hit in the head again.
I know you are. But so you can say I told
no,
you
not,
so?
No, not like a fatal shot. Just like, hey, maybe Cakes is onto something. If I'm standing here, a girl with a softball bat, there's a good chance I get hit in the head with the ball.
Jason Bishop, I'm looking at the schedule, and we have Bish's best bet usually at 9:45, but we have Jason locking forward today. Can you do Bish's best bet at 9:20?
Oh, that's pressure.
Yeah, I can do that.
How did you fare on Friday?
Remember, I gave you 3 plays on Friday. I gave you the Dodgers series bet, which is still pending.
Okay.
That's 1-1. Game 3 is tonight in L.A. I gave you Central Florida -4.5, which lost. They had to,
that was a squeaker.
They had to come from behind. They won the game by 1. But I gave you the Dolphins. NFL Play of the Week was Dolphins. Oh. And that was without knowing that Osweiler was going to play.
Yeah, you couldn't change your pick in the last
couldn't change
minute.
My pick.
Right.
Right. I gave you the Dolphins +3.5. If I knew Osweiler was going to start, I certainly wouldn't have given that to you.
Yep.
Went up to 7 right before kick, but you know, they won outright.
I'm pumped. I got my confirmation email from our guy, Scott Saunders,
mm-hmm.
going to the Caliendo show on Saturday at Hollywood Casino, Charlestown Races. Maybe I'll place a wager at the sports book, the one and only sports book. Going to go to the Final Cut.
Oh, that's a great
6 p.m.
restaurant. Final Cut's awesome.
Sounds like
that's
a fun
late
evening.
For Cakes. 6 p.m. dinner,
what
8
night,
p.m. show.
What night is that?
Saturday night.
That's Saturday, yeah.
Hey,
so Saturday is going to be jamming because I was there on a Saturday, and that place is jamming on a Saturday.
Packed.
All the D-gens are just waiting in line to place their bets.
Of course they are. They can't help themselves. By the way, I was in your hood over the weekend. I had dinner at Coastal Flats on
Very
Saturday
nice.
Night at 5:30, mm-hmm. when most sane, rational people have dinner, and the place was 3/4 full.
Well, so let me tell you something.
Let's not act like when I go to dinner that early that I'm the only person.
No. Well, Coastal Flats in my neighborhood, there's Coastal Flats, Paladar, Ted's Bulletin, a bunch of restaurants.
Yep.
I'll throw Roost Chris out of the mix because that's super fancy. If it's decent weather and I can't remember Friday, those places are packed from happy hour, 4 o'clock, all the outside
seating.
Well,
it was Saturday.
Seating.
It was a little bit chilly because fall's starting to move in.
Yeah,
but
people
but
like
nice.
To go out a little early, watch some games, have some cocktails at the bar, have dinner. So it's not a stretch that you'll see a lot of people around 5:30.
And then,
Rick, I said you couldn't say that.
Oh. Well, I didn't know there was some top secret news.
Yes, check your text.
Oh, my God. I'm supposed to memorize everything from a text from Friday?
You are supposed to remember things.
You're don't ever dump it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I didn't know. I'm not watching you.
Don't say those two words next to each other in the next 30 seconds.
Don't get Rick. I don't care that they're coming. Anyway, so I'm not surprised that there was a lot of people there at 5:30.
Yeah, a decent amount of people.
You got sliced for the bread with their butter.
Oh, it's the same. I thought immediately of bread.
Right.
When they said, would you like some bread? I said, yes, of course. And then in the back of my head, I heard Brett saying, bread is so good because it tastes like a donut. And then my wife took a bite and said, this bread tastes like a donut. I said, I'm in some sort of weird like Twilight Zone with Brett.
Did you guys get stuck going to Sephora after, which is right across the street in the Lululemon?
Did not. Had nice. Dinner. Left. Went home.
Oh, thanks for popping right. over and saying hello.
I did not. I just went and had a silly hanger steak at Coastal Flats.
Oh, I bet that was good.
It was good.
What do I do? What do I do in the Niners-Packers games tonight? It's 8.5 and 46. I don't know. I'm going to ponder it here in the next 20 minutes.
9:20 for Bish's best bet. Will you watch Ozark today?
No.
I send you a text.
No.
I'm going to watch.
Because I'll watch Walking Dead. And then I'll watch a little bit of MLB Network, get ready for the game tonight. Yeah, I like watching playoff baseball. Kill me. Playoff baseball is...
Oh, playoff baseball is fine, but like you have to get ready for the game.
Well, I like to get a little hyped up.
Yep.
And then I'll walk my dog. Hopefully it's not raining all day.
Right.
And then I'll have dinner at about 5.
I like your plan.
That's what I do.
When will you be under the covers?
I'll be under the covers by 7:30.
You won't even make it the kickoff of Niners Packers.
No, I'll watch it.
Oh, you'll watch it under the covers.
I didn't say I was going to be asleep by 7:30.
Okay.
I'll just be in my bed.
He's watching TV from the bedroom like you do.
I like to watch TV from my bedroom.
I kind of like that move. Solid move. Because
my nicest television is my bedroom.
Yep.
So that's where I'll watch.
Yep.
All right, coming up next, our Redskins beat reporter Craig Hoffman joins us. It is a Victory Monday here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.